Let us pray together. Jesus, thank you that we can, that you are our strength and weakness. I pray that we would hide ourselves in you. Thank you that you have given us your word, O Father. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us so that we can know you and love you. Thank you that one day that we will no longer have to have a mediated experience through your word, but we will see you face to face. And I pray that you would kindle again that hope within us, even this morning, the hope of seeing you face to face. Father, I pray that you would use your word in our lives as you have promised, that it would not return void, but it would accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. I pray that you would give us eyes to see, that you give us ears to hear, and that you would transform our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that we would not leave unchanged, but that you would change us. And I pray if there's any that don't know Jesus, that you would open their eyes to see the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. So be with us as we look at your word today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So we're back in Luke. I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Our text is the last few paragraphs, verses 39 through 49. But we're going to go back in. I'm going to start with the text that Ward preached last Sunday, starting at verse 27, so that we get a feel for the context. So Luke 6, and we're going to start reading at verse 27. This is God's word. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smites thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that takes away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thy eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Today, we get to talk about your favorite topic, you. It's true. You are the person you think about the most. We fill our days and nights with these questions. How do I feel? What should I do? What do people think about me? And at certain times of our life, it gets more intense. Who am I anyway? What should I do with my life? We cannot escape thinking about ourselves. Unfortunately, you are the least unqualified person to understand yourself correctly. Because of sin, our self-perception is off in some way, always. Left to yourself, you will always have a distorted view of yourself. That's why we need the intervention of God's Word and God's Spirit in the intervention of other people. In today's text, Jesus gives us some glasses so that we can see ourselves better. Not to perfection, but to help us see ourselves for who we are. As we go through this text, I hope that you will see better the real you. And let me give you a hint. It's not pretty when we look in deep into our hearts. To cover our text today, I want to ask four questions to kind of go through the teaching of Jesus as he ends his sermon here in Luke 6. So question number one, how do we see the real you? So the question number one is this: who are you following? Who are you following? We see this in verses 39 and 40. And Jesus gives two parables, maybe better today we would call these proverbs. These are kind of short sayings to help us get to a good general truth. So verse 39, a blind man leading another blind man does not work. They both will end up in a ditch. Now, this word for ditch, some translations have pit, is not just like that little ditch in front of our church sign that you could kind of stumble into and then get out of. This is like a pit that if you fall into it, you need someone to throw you a rope to rescue you. So this is pretty dangerous. But then this parable in verse 40, it goes with the parable in verse 39. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And this word for perfect means fully trained. So when you've arrived at all your training, you're going to be just like your teacher. A teacher can only take their student as far as they have gone. Well, it's obvious. When a teacher has done their job, a student is going to be like them. So those two proverbs or parables together give us a ringing question. Who are you following? If you are following a blind teacher, you're going to end up in a pit with them. And I don't think that's where any of you want to be. You can only go as far as the teacher you learn from. And let me tell you, you better like your teacher, because you will end up just like them. When we think of a teacher, we often think of a person who dispenses information in a classroom. But we have to go beyond that because teachers do more than dispense information, especially the teachers during the Bible times. A teacher is not just telling you how to think, but he is telling you how to live. And that's what Jesus, the great teacher, is doing here in his sermon. The reason I read those verses 27 to 38 that we covered last week, did you notice that Jesus is telling people how to live? Love your enemies. If someone wants to borrow something, you give it to them, no matter whether or not you might not see it again ever. So Jesus is not just giving information, he's telling them how to live. And the background to this proverb in verses 39 and 40 is the guides and teachers in Israel, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. These men had a great knowledge of the Old Testament, but they didn't follow its teachings. Jesus at one point says, do what they say, but don't do what they do. So they were blind, so if you're going to follow them, you're going to end up in a pit with them. So Jesus says, don't follow the Pharisees. Jesus is saying, be careful who you follow. Most of all, follow me. Follow me. Follow my teaching and my life. And we bring this proverb to modern day because we still have teachers, and plenty of them. Teachers on the radio, on the TV, in churches, and this is not just religious, only religious, but teachers in schools and in colleges. If they are blind, they will lead their students right into a pit. And people will only go as far as their teachers. The goal for us as Christians is to follow Jesus and to become like him. So if you're not first following Jesus, you're going to be led astray by bad teachers. So you're like, oh, this new teacher has this cool thing to say. I'm going to go see what he has to do. But if you're not aligned with Jesus and following him, you're going to be led astray into a pit by bad teachers. We need teachers. Biblical teachers are Christ's good gift to the church, Ephesians 4. But the goal is to listen to Jesus and to become like him, not to be identical to whatever teacher you have. The thing is, we need teachers, and God has given teachers to us, but we must make sure that our allegiance and our authority are first from Jesus and not humans. And we can easily shift, oh, that person teaches the Bible, and I'm going to follow them. It's easy to do. Yes, listen, but follow Jesus first. You could easily say, I'm going to follow John MacArthur or John Piper or John Hagee or John Calvin or John Wesley or any other guy named John. Learn from them. You need teachers, but follow Jesus first. So who are you following? Not just religious teachers, but any kind of teachers. Because you better like them, because you are going to turn out like them. Who are you following? Because who you follow makes you who you are. The question number two to determine the real you. What do you see? What do you see? Verses 41 and 42. Now this is a classic proverb. I mean, trying to remove a speck from someone's eye while you have a log sticking out of your own eye, it just doesn't work. I think there's two truths that this proverb teaches us. The first is that we don't need religion police. So if you're in the religion police business, it's time to quit. Because we don't need people going around bossing people around about how to live the minute details of their lives. Jesus is firm with those who are looking for specks in others' eyes. Like that's their goal in life. Defines specs. He says, you're a hypocrite. Stop it. There is a difference between helping people with their problems and making your goal to find problems and point them out. If you raise children, you know the difference. However, the parable does not say, never remove specks. Did you notice that? You would think that Jesus says, get the log out of your own eye and go out your merry way. He doesn't say that. He says, remove the log, then you can see clearly to get the speck out of your brother's eye. So that leads to the second truth, that self-examination, in order to help others, is hard. Self-examination is hard. Like, how can you miss that log sticking out of your eye? So we got the log coming out of our eye, but the speck in our brother's eye is so obvious, it's driving us nuts. And we're just like, we completely miss the log. We easily give ourselves a pass while we do not give that same luxury to our brother or sister. You know how that is? We grant ourselves excuses and think that we have noble aspirations and great intentions. On the other hand, we do not give the benefit of the doubt to our brothers and sisters. And that's how we're wired as sinners, to think so highly of ourselves, so we miss the log, and we're like, oh my word, look at that massive speck in their eye. It's driving everyone nuts. Yes, we should help get the speck out of our brother's eye, but not without first carefully examining our hearts, our motives, our words, and our actions. Maybe after some log removing on our part, we stop seeing the speck in our brother's eye. But that's not how the parable goes. The parable says, after we examine ourselves, then we'll be filled with compassion and love so that we can help get the speck out of the brother's eye. Man, that must be so annoying. Let me help you get that speck out of your eye. So the question I want to bring us back to is, what do you see? So do you live life aware at all times of the faults of others? Or do you live life knowing your own faults? So what do you see when you walk around? Everyone else's faults or yours? Ask God to help you see the log in your own eye, so that you can be useful to get specks out of others' eyes. Third question. Again, these are more pictures and parables. What's inside your heart? What's inside your heart? This parable is about fruit. Good trees produce good fruit. Bad trees produce bad fruit. On the church property, along the ball field, there's an apple tree. And every year since I've been here, it has produced small green and brown apples. They do not look appealing. The deer like them, and that's about all. And every year it has produced those fruit. It's not going to produce big, luscious red apples next season, because bad trees produce bad fruit. Trees and fruit are just like our hearts and our words. Do you want to know what is in your heart? Listen to what you say. What do you do with your arms, your eyes, and your legs? That shows you what is in your heart. Now we see this parable. It's like, ooh, now I can figure out what is in other people's hearts. I don't know if that's the intention of this parable. We have just got talking about logs and specks. I would think that the main emphasis of this is to show, you know, what's in our own hearts, with a secondary emphasis on what is in other people's hearts. This parable is first helpful for us evaluating our own hearts. Do you know how it is, like, when you evaluate yourself, that you evaluate yourself on your intentions? Oh, I meant to do that good thing, so I'm good, but, you know, I didn't really do it because I didn't have time. Or I was having a hard day, so I get a pass on yelling at my spouse. Stop evaluating yourself on your intentions and evaluate yourself on what you said and what you did. Yes, desires and intentions matter, but our desires and intentions are tricky things. The heart is deceitful. The way to see what is going on in your heart is to watch and see what you actually do and what you actually say. That is what is going on in your heart. We can seem all nice and Christian when we come to church, but how do you speak to your spouse on Monday, and how do you treat your siblings on Tuesday? How do you treat your coworkers and fellow students? What comes out of your mouth? So what is in your heart? Listen to the words that come out of your mouth. That is the real you. Last question. Determine the real you. What are you doing? What are you doing? This last parable, Jesus focuses again on our actions. Jesus is not content that we merely listen to him. He wants us to listen and obey. If you do not obey, it shows that you have not listened and believed his words. The person who listens to Jesus and obeys is like a man who works hard to sink his house down on a foundation of rock. The storms come and the house is firm. The person who listens to Jesus and does not put his words into practice is like a man who builds his house on the earth, on the soil, so the streams come down, erode the soil, and his house collapses. I don't think Jesus is talking about us having stability in life, though that could be an application of this. I believe Jesus is talking about the final judgment. Get that from the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 7. When the end of the world comes, only those who have obeyed Jesus will survive. Jesus wants us to listen to him. He wants you to trust his words. But if you do not obey, you have not listened well or trusted his words. The British pastor from the 1800s, J.C. Ryle, puts it this way: a religion which cost us nothing and consists in nothing but hearing sermons will always prove at last to be a useless thing. I want you to listen carefully to some scripture. This is how the Bible talks about how we will be judged in the end. We will not merely be judged in our beliefs. We will be judged for our actions, for our obedience to Jesus. So again, Jesus is saying, the one who listens to me is like, you need to obey the words that I have spoken. So Matthew 7:21 should be familiar to you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So who's going to get into heaven? Those who do the will of the Father. Romans 2:6. He, that's God, will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. So you want eternal life? Practice well-doing and seek for glory and honor and immortality. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. 1 John 3:10, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. So you want to know if you're a child of God. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So true Christians are those who practice righteousness and who love their brothers. Revelation 20:11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. Mark these words well. Your good works will not earn you a place in heaven. You can't make it by your good works. But if your life is not characterized by good works, righteousness, and love, you are not going to heaven. Heaven is a holy place, and only holy people go there. Hebrews 12:14. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Do you say that you believe in Jesus? Then you will obey him. James 1:19 says this: you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So if you acknowledge that God exists, you're doing as well as Satan is right now. Do you want to be shown, O foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? And James goes on to show that true faith is shown through our works. J.C. Ryle again commenting on our passage. Let it be a fixed principle in our religion, in Christianity, that obedience is the only sound evidence of saving faith. Obedience is the only sound evidence of saving faith, and that the talk of the lips is worse than useless if it is not accompanied by sanctification of the life. The man in whose heart the Holy Ghost really dwells will never be content to sit still and do nothing to show his love to Christ. So don't deceive yourself. If you listen to sermons and don't obey Jesus, you are not a Christian. True faith in Jesus reveals itself in obedience. At the end of his sermon, this is what Jesus says. If you listen and don't obey, you're going to be swept away by judgment. But if you listen and obey my words, you will stand strong. So let me offer a few words of application. So who is the real you? I think most of us want to think very pleasant, good thoughts about ourselves, that we're awesome. But this is how Jesus reveals the real you. Who are you following? Is it some person or is it Jesus? What do you see? Do you only see the faults of others or do you see the sin in your own heart? What's in your heart? Listen to the words that come out of your mouth. And lastly, what do you do? Are you obeying the commands of Jesus or are you just doing whatever feels right? Jesus sees the real you. He knows all the times you followed blind guides into a pit. He sees all the times you judged people without looking at your sin first. He sees all the ways into your heart and hears what comes out of your mouth. He sees every action that you did and every good thing that you did not do. And he still loves you. Jesus came to die for sinners. He came to die for his enemies. He came to die for people who disobey him and follow their own way. The real you is worse than you know. But the love of Jesus is more amazing than you could ever imagine. So if you've never trusted Jesus to save you, today is the day to decide to trust him. Just don't listen to the words that Jesus loves you and died for your sins. Don't just think that those are nice thoughts that Jesus would love people. Take a hold of Jesus and ask him to save you from the real you. If you've claimed to have trusted Jesus as your Savior, are you walking in obedience to him? So if your life is marked by repeated disobedience to Jesus, consider that you may not truly know Jesus. Today, come to him, trust him. He will never turn you away. But if your life is marked by obedience to Jesus, that is a sign that he is at work in your life. He is the one who, if he began a good work, he's going to finish it. And Jesus loves us. He understands that we are human. He is pleased by your faltering steps of obedience to him. The sins you committed this week, he is forgiven, and he still loves you. So keep it up. So how do you know that you're a Christian? If your life is marked by obedience to your Savior, he is pleased. So keep it up, dear friends. Keep on obeying your Savior, because that's what Christianity is about, obeying the commands of Jesus and loving him. Keep it up. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that even though we were your enemies, you sent Jesus to die for us. Lord, help us not to fool ourselves, deceive ourselves about who we really are, but that you would show us who we are. Pray that we examine ourselves, Father. Help us to see what you're doing in our lives. And Father, I thank you for all these dear people that are faithful to you that this week have taken step after a faltering step of obedience to you. Thank you for their faithfulness, and I pray that they would keep it up. We will be pleased, that you would be pleased with our obedience to you. And Lord, I pray that we would look forward to the day when we will hear those words, "Well done, a good and faithful servant." We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.